Good morning, everyone. It's so nice to see everyone here. Thanks, Billy, for clipping the mic. I can hear myself very well today.
You did it right. All right. I just wanted to ask you a question. How do you see...
How do I sound funny? I think...
How do you see the way you relate to God? Do you see God the Father and you're the children? Or do you see Jesus as your shepherd, your master, your Lord, your Savior, your deliverer, your healer, your friend? How do you see God? And this morning, my sermon title is Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Do you see Jesus as your lover? There's one book in the Bible called Song of Songs. It's devoted to just telling our relationship as the lover, that we're in love with Jesus. You know, that's Solomon, and then Solomon was a type of Jesus that, you know, he's really going after his lover and how the Shunammite woman was responding to him. Or do you see the Bible as like a love story telling us how much God loves us? In the Old Testament,
the Lord is seen as the divine bridegroom, and then Israel as his bride. And then in the New Testament, we know that Jesus was described as the bridegroom and the church as his bride. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and you will no longer call me my master." And this morning, as I said, Jesus being our lover, I don't mean it in a disrespectful way or irreverent way, bringing Jesus down as our equal. But when you think of it, there's no relationship that is more intimate as a lover. Is Jesus the lover of your soul? Or in other words, are you madly in love with Jesus today? Francis Chan, the author of the book Crazy Love, he has this example to show us whether we really are in love with Jesus or not. He says, if you could have heaven with no sickness, no mourning, no death, no pain and everything, and you could have all the friends that you could on this earth, and all the friends that you really love, and all your loved ones, and all the food that you like, and you can have all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, and all the natural beauties you ever saw, and all the physical pleasures you ever enjoyed and tasted. And there's no human conflicts, no heart relationships, or any kind of natural disasters. The question that he asks is, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? Just be real honest. Think about all these wonderful things that you could have, and yet Christ is not there. Would you be happy being there? And he said, well, I will have to say yes. I guess all of us would really want to say yes. We could have everything, but Christ is not there. If that's the case, we really are not really in love with Jesus. I'm only in love with the things that he offers me. Not Jesus himself, but what he could give me. Why is it important to love him from our heart? In Deuteronomy, Moses, before the children of Israel went into the promised land, he says, "Oh, hear Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart."
And then who repeated these words in the New Testament? It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the great and foremost commandment. The first thing that God wants from us is our whole heart, that we will love Him with all our heart. Sometimes we're confused with what loving Him and loving His blessings, what He could give us. And sometimes we can also be confused with doing things for Him. That means that we are loving Him. Remember the words of Jesus to the church at Ephesus? In Revelation 2 there, Jesus says, I know your deeds. I know your hard words. I know your perseverance. And you cannot tolerate wicked people. And you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. This church was full of good deeds, full of hard work. They persevered. They had the right doctrine. They endured hardships and never grew weary.
And they have really tremendous qualities, qualities that everybody wants, and qualities that
it's very commendable. But Jesus had this message to the church, to this dynamic church. He says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You do not love me as you did in the beginning. Yes, we do all these things, but it's not from our heart.
How do you measure your love for Jesus? Is it mainly by the things that you do?
What is the nature of this love? Is love mainly doing what Jesus says? In John 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This justifies us doing a lot of things for God. Go to church, read the Bible, give money and everything. And then Jesus asked Peter, remember at the end of John, he says, do you love me? And if you love me, feed my sheep. That we serve God by doing things. Is that kind of love that Jesus wants? Or is it deeper and has to do with the heart? A heart of a lover. A heart that is constantly living in this delight of being loved by Him. A heart that is just all of His love for us, of His beauty, of His holiness, of His goodness, so that everything that we do is a very natural outflow from that love, from that inward reality. Remember when you were dating, and remember when you first fell in love? How much you really want to do things for the other person. Not because you want to earn their love, because they already love you. But it's just that delight in your heart that you just want to do something for the other person. And all the things that you do is because of an outflowing of that inward reality, that you treasure that love so much, that you admire that person so much, that you delight in that person so much. And this is the kind of first love that God wants His church to have. And Jesus says in Revelation 2:5 there, therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. We know that the lampstand stands for the church. Jesus will remove the church when people don't do things out of the first love, out of just going through the motions, and will be wandering around in the darkness.
Where that God is light.
And in Him, there's no darkness at all. And John says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out that truth. We really don't have fellowship with God. And when we don't have fellowship with God, there's that emptiness in the inside. We look for ways to fill that emptiness. And we want other people or things to fill that need and to fill that emptiness. We're lonely because we're created for fellowship. And so we long for a relationship. Oh, too close? Okay, that's what I thought. Oh, okay. Thanks. Is that better? Okay, all right. So we want for we look for a relationship to satisfy ourselves. Do you know why we have so many issues in life? These are all because of a heart issue. We constantly want so many things in our life. We want bigger things, we want better things, and then when we have these things, we want more and we want more. You ask, why are we so greedy? And why do we want to hold on to things so much? And we always find ourselves having problems with so many relationships. And why do we keep fighting with each other? Why can't we get along? And why are we not satisfied with our own spouse? Why do we have to look somewhere else? And why do we keep on looking at pornography? And why are we so afraid of sharing good news, the good news to people, our faith? Why are we so afraid to offend people? You know, these are all external issues. These are just symptoms. They are symptoms of a deeper issue when we don't understand how much Jesus really loves us, when we don't understand how much we have in Jesus Christ. We look for other things and other people to fill that emptiness, that need, that loneliness that we feel. And the problem is, we will never get it. It's never enough for whatever people do for us. And it's never enough for whatever things we get in life, because nothing can truly satisfy us except by the love of Jesus Christ. Do you know how much God really loves you? Do you see Jesus as the lover of your soul? Do you understand this love relationship? Do you really understand who He is? Paul says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for us. Jesus gave His life for us. And you said, for me? I'm so unworthy, I'm so sinful, how could He give His life for me? Yes, that's exactly what the Bible says. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we get it, we will look at all these things very differently. We'll be like Paul in Philippians 3 says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. All the things that once we thought were important, you would now say, I really don't care. They don't mean anything to me. All the fighting, all the arguing, all the quarreling really didn't matter. And you wouldn't even love the sin or those bad habits so much anymore. You know, so many people are so unhappy with their marriages, but we know that the marriage is not the problem. The problem is a heart issue. The real problem is we don't understand how much God really loves us. We don't understand how good He is, how much He has given us already. The heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. If you really understand the love of Christ, it will change everything. Then we come to the million-dollar question. How do we fall in love with that, with Jesus? Well, I can tell you, I cannot make you fall in love. The same sun that melts the butter also hardens the cement. I can tell you, God really loves you. You know, the creator of the whole universe loves you, is crazy about you. And He would die for your sin. And not only that, He rose from the dead. And now, for everyone that believes in Him, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And your response can be, oh yeah, that's pretty nice. You know, I can make the introduction, but I cannot make you fall in love. I cannot force you. That has to come from your heart. That has to be an internal thing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's working inside of you. Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. And Paul gave us a better, deeper insight in Ephesians 3, a powerful passage. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It is the work of the power of the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your inner being. But you still have to respond to it. Paul in Romans 8 there, the verse that we read earlier, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. It is the Spirit himself that testifies with our spirit. Something internal happens. There is a breakthrough by the power of the Holy Spirit that finally we will just cry out, Abba, Father. We know that we are a child of God, that we're deeply in love by him. That I know that he is my God, that he truly is in love with me, and I'm really secure in his love. You know, I really thank God for giving me children because they taught me so many things that I would never learn otherwise. And when they were young, of course, you know, we bring them to church and we taught them everything. And they were so excited about going to church and they were so excited about Jesus. I still remember every one of them when they were about 3 or 4, when they had more understanding. And when we told them about Jesus, they said, oh, I want to accept Jesus. I know Jesus loves me. And that was just so exciting and all that. But then when they're older, in high school, you know, one philosophy class from a non-Christian teacher undid everything that we did for over 15 years or whatever. What's going on, you ask? They grew up in church, they went to Sunday school, they had all this knowledge of Jesus. The truth is that I can introduce Jesus to them, but I cannot make them fall in love with Jesus. They had the concept of who God is. They knew that this God is their parents' God. They never felt him from their heart as a lover. But when the power of the Holy Spirit strengthens them, and that is when they would get it. And that is when they would say that, wow, this God is my God. It's not my parents' God anymore. And it's from the Holy Spirit that would grant it to him, that would break through into their spirit, that they would be in love with God. Just like Ephesians 3 there, it says it's really through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul went on in Ephesians 3, verse 16, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. That's the most powerful passage in Ephesians here. And when you know this love that surpasses knowledge, that is when you experience the fullness of Jesus. That is when you really know that you have everything when you have Christ. And that is when you have this changed heart and this inner transformation, which is would explode into all these outward manifestation. Nobody needs to tell you to go to church. You would get up early and go to church. Nobody needs to tell you to witness to people. Nobody can stop you from telling people the goodness and the beauty of our Lord. And you will really want to witness for Jesus. And you will want to go to church to worship with His people. You will fall in love with His people as well. And you will want to sing praises to Him. You will want to thank Him. And you don't even know why you want to thank Him. And you just want to thank Him. And you will want to break all the sins in your life. That's because you have Jesus in you. You're full of Him. And no one can make you stop doing what you want to do. And all these things will just flow out naturally out of you. And it's not a struggle. It is not out of compulsion. It's not being manipulated or forced by anybody. But it is a very natural outflow because of a dynamic and loving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. You will see Him as your lover. Are you in love with Jesus? Are you really sure that Jesus is really crazy about you? Are you 100% sure this morning or this afternoon? Not just, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but for God so loved you as an individual. And beyond any shadow of your doubt, you know that, wow, God really loves me. How much do you think the Father loved Jesus? You probably think, wow, that's a great love, perfect love, of course. In John 15:9 there, Jesus says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. So remain in that love. Just as. That's like the strongest comparison that you can use in the Greek language. Say, just as the Father loves me. The Father loves, the love for the Father, for Jesus. And that's how much Jesus really loves me. Do you know that He is so radically in love with you even before the foundation of the earth was set? He has never ceased to pursue you. He always sees you with such delight and such affection. Do you believe that? In Jeremiah, God says, I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they will be my people. And I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. And we know the Israelites were really rebellious. They broke every law that God wanted. They played harlotry with every other nation. They chased and bowed down before every idol. And yet, God says, they will love God with their whole heart again. The power of God. And then in Ezekiel, He says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. God has already made the provision. He has given you a new heart and a new spirit. In Ephesians again, chapter 1, Paul says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the earth, that we will be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. The reason that He could choose us before the foundation of the earth to be holy and blameless and to adopt us as sons and daughters, it's because there's something else that also happened at the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the earth was set. In Revelation, we see what happened was because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. The Lamb was slaughtered before the world was made. Because of our sins, the only way that we could become holy and blameless, and the only way that we could become children of God, is by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His sacrifice. For everyone that believes, we will have this eternal life.
The Father loves you so much that He has already provided for His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins, even before the foundation of the earth was set. Jesus loves you so much that He forsook all the heavenly glory, that He was bound by time and space, and He came to this world to die for our sins, to sacrifice His life for us. But He rose from the dead, and now His Spirit lives in each one of us that believes in Him. Are you stunned by this love of God? Are you overwhelmed by what Jesus has done for you? There was absolutely no merit on our part to be loved by Him. He loves because He is love. And when this truth grips us, then we will taste what it is to delight in Himself, as in Him, Jesus, being the lover of our soul. You know, at the Church of the Redeemer, we often have this Christmas outreach every year. And the church is very generous to the other people, the people that have low income in Montgomery County. And the church would invite these families to come and give them a really nice meal, and then give the children presents, and also give them a gift card to buy food for the family for Christmas. And the kids came in, they started coming in like really early, like 8 or 9 o'clock, and then we served them until like late, about 2 o'clock or so. So the gift card is always there for them because the family registered. But the gifts are not. The gifts were almost like, for the children, almost like first come, first serve. And so the children that came earlier would have whatever gifts that they wanted. But then the kids that came late would not get any gifts. And I still remember some of these kids, they were so upset because they expected to have a present. And that may be the only present that it would have for Christmas. And I could understand how sad it is for them. And so I would talk to them and I said, you know, the greatest gift, I know I understand that you didn't have your gift, but, you know, the greatest gift in Christmas really is Jesus Christ. And I tell you, they have no clue about what I'm talking about. Because they, in their mind, they only wanted that gift, that physical gift. This is like Paul says in Ephesians 3, that this love from God, you know, really it surpasses our understanding. You know, as children, we really don't have the maturity to understand that. And that is why we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us, to give us that power to, you know, like to strengthen our inner being, so that we can understand that this love really dwells in our heart, that we can have that power to grasp what the love of Christ is about, and so that we can understand this love that surpasses our understanding, and so that we can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you know what that fullness of God is? Do you know that that's a very very thing that Moses asked God? God, please show me your glory. And God says, oh, I cannot, because if I show you my glory, you will die. You cannot take that. And then later on, He made the tabernacle. And then even in the tabernacle, the glory of God was confined behind the curtain in the ark there. And you know what? At Christmas time, John says, and the Word was made flesh, and He tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory. Wow, can you imagine? This glory that Moses could not handle now is available for us, that we can truly have this fullness in us. And this is the kind of love that God wants us to understand, and that we can see Jesus being the lover of our soul, so that we can truly be satiated satiated with his love, that we can be so full of him, that nothing else matter, that he alone is our true love, and that we will love him wholly with our whole heart, with our new heart. Can we truly say, I am in love with God? And can we truly say that he is in love with me? He is always in love with you. The matter is, are you always in love with him? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for giving us Jesus Christ, your Son. Father God, I thank you for this love, that even though it's so wonderful, that it surpasses our understanding, that it can only be understood through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that let this love be awakened in us. And Lord, we ask that this love will be awakened afresh every day in our life. And we ask that this love be awakened afresh every moment of our life. That, Lord, that we will always live our life as one that is in love with you, so that we can love because we first have your love in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.